This afternoon we're going to think about the Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honour have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Last time when we looked at the Psalm 148, we pointed out that all of creation was called forth, summons to praise God. The Psalm 149 does not summons all of creation to praise God. The Psalm 149 summons the people of God to praise God. They are told here in the verse 1 to sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. The saints, this is God's people coming together. In ancient times it would have been the people of Israel coming into the temple to worship God. This was the congregation in this New Testament age. This is a gathering together of the church on the Lord's Day to worship God, to praise God. They are told to be joyful in the verse 2. They are told to sing aloud upon their beds in the verse 5. So this injunction that they should worship God, it was not just for the public place, it was also for the private place. No place is more private than the bedroom. And even upon their beds at night, they were to sing aloud. They were to be aware of God and be aware of their duty to worship God at all times. This is how it should be for us. God wants us to worship God. God wants us to praise him at all times, whether in church or at home, whether in the workplace or in the bedroom. God wants us to worship God. Wherever we are called upon as Christians to be good witnesses for him. But let me ask a question. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Because this question is answered in this psalm. Who are the saints of God? The saints of God are not a select group of Christians who have been chosen and called saints. No, no. Saint of God is all of God's people. But what does it mean to be a child of God? Because everyone is not a child of God. Some are children of God and some aren't. So what does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean to be a Christian? Verse 4 answers this question. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. A Christian is a meek person whom God has beautified with his salvation. Let's just try and understand what this means. If a person is beautified, that means that they looked less beautiful before they were beautified. To be beautified is to be improved. So immediately we get a sense that we need to be improved. The fact of the matter is, we were downright ugly in the sight of God in our sin. The Bible tells us that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. In the book of Isaiah chapter 1, the sinner's soul is compared to a body that is full of sores, a body that's suffering from gangrene, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. Isaiah wrote, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. So as far as God is concerned, he looks at our hearts morally and he sees nothing but sin, and sin is something that is revolting to him. Don't you think that your good works please God? Don't you think that your Bible readings please God? Don't you think that your family upbringing please God? Don't you think that your respectability in society pleases God? Yes, it is good that you are respectable, and it's good that you're law-abiding, and there's nothing wrong with these things in and of themselves, but don't trust in these things to get you to heaven. This is what I'm saying to you. Because in our hearts we are depraved, and we are wretched, and we are cut away from God. There are people in hell who have inhabited McGilligan prison and who have inhabited McGabry prison. But there are people in hell who were never in prison, who never stood in a courtroom. People who went to their church regularly. People who were upright and law-abiding, and yet they're in the same hell. I say this to you, not to annoy you or to make you angry. I say this to you in order to show you that we are all sinners, because this is what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin is not what we do. What we do is only the consequences of sin. Sin is what we are. In the life of one person, the sin may be stealing or lying or doing violence. In the life of another person, the sin may be pride, thinking that he or she morally is better than anyone else. But it's all sin, you see. Do you understand that? We need to be beautified. So who are the people that God beautifies? They are the meek people. And what does it mean to be meek? It means to be gentle. It means to be submissive. The meek person is a person who is in subjection to the Word of God. A person who's subject to the Word of God. Spiritually, this is the meek person. The Lord said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The meek people are the people whom God saves. The meek person is a person who looks at God's word, who says, "Yes, that is right, I am a sinner. That is right, my life to date has been a failure. That is right, I am cut off from God. I must become a Christian. I must ask God to save me." There are some people who are simply too proud to ask God to save them from their sins. That's a terrible thing. Don't fall into that trap. You need to be saved because Jesus died for you on the cross, and therefore you need to come to God and say, "Lord, save me. Save me from my sin." So the people whom God beautifies are the meek. But what he beautifies the meek with is salvation. But this salvation comes from outside of man. Salvation is not something that we create. It's not something that we deserve. It's something that God gives to us. In the book of Isaiah again, in Isaiah chapter 61 and the verse 10, we read this: "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." To be saved is to be covered with a garment of righteousness, a robe of salvation. And this is a righteousness that is not ours. It's not ours. It is Christ's. You see, Jesus Christ came into the world as a man to take our place, to live in our place, to live a perfect life for us, that we might have his righteousness. Whenever we become Christians, God gives us the righteousness of his Son, and therefore he is able to accept us. There's nothing more beautiful than that. I look at the life of Christ in the Bible and I discover a beautiful life. I discover one who was holy, one who was harmless, one who was set apart from sinners. I discover one who just simply couldn't sin. Oh, what a life that was, set apart in this world. A life that was a shining light indeed. So pure, so holy, so innocent. Oh, we live in such a corrupt world, and yet here was one who was absolutely undefiled. And he lived that perfect life that we might have his righteousness. This is what it means to be a Christian, to have Christ's righteousness given to us. But in order that we might have his righteousness, he had to take upon himself our sin. He suffered the guilt of our sin. And that's what the cross was all about, as he hung there naked, in terrible pain, lifted up to die. And as the darkness descended, my guilt was upon him. Every one of my sins, every one of your sins was laid upon him. He died in our place. He died for us that we might have his righteousness. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, will you not be meek today? Except that you need Christ, that Christ is the only answer for your soul, that you will be beautified with God's wonderful salvation. I pray that you will come and seek the Lord for life today. I thank you for listening.